in the book of Revelation. We're halfway. Chapter 12 is oftentimes referred to as the pivotal chapter of the book of Revelation. What you have had before chapter 12 is the concern of John with the general conflict between the church and the Roman Empire. And then from chapter 12 on, you have focus and attention given to the participants in this conflict between Christ and the devil, between good and evil, between God and Satan. Some have said that chapter 12 is the easiest chapter in this part of the book. Others have said it is the most difficult chapter. So I'll just let you be the one who determines how you feel about chapter 12 when we get through with it tonight. The controversy, of course, in chapter 12 is in regards to the identity of the woman. Is she Eve, the first woman? Is she the mother of Jesus? Is she the Holy Spirit? Is she the church? Or is she wisdom personified? Or is it possible that she is physical Israel who becomes spiritual Israel? You have all of those possibilities. Of the ones I've just named, which one is put forth regularly by the Roman Catholic Church?
Mary.
Mary, yes. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Which one is usually, not all the time, but usually put forth as the woman by the Protestant churches? The people of God, or the church, or spiritual Israel. Yes. Yeah. What you possibly have here in regards to the woman, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later on, as time permits. But what you have here is what is called a shifting symbol. A shifting symbol. Originally, the woman presents herself as physical Israel, and then presents herself as spiritual Israel. Right. And the ascent to the throne room is symbolic of Jesus' ascension into heaven. Now, we'll talk about the man-child also tonight, and we'll talk about dragon. And maybe we'll have time to talk about the two beasts. If we don't, well, we will talk about them next Wednesday night. I have something special I want to share with you right now. This is the reading, professional reading of these two chapters. Well, three chapters, actually, if we want to hear all three of them. They're short chapters. It won't take long to hear them. Professional readers are pretty fast. But this special reading of revelation. In fact, the whole New Testament is done by these people. And they have, go ahead and plug that in. And they have sound effects. So if you think you're hearing things, you are. I think you'll enjoy this. It's interesting, things that are read, the degree to which things are read in terms of understanding make a great deal of difference. You remember in the Old Testament, which prophet of God, which priest of God had the scriptures read? Was that Ezra? And the Bible said he read to give the sense. To give the sense. And that's what this is all about. And to me it is remarkable. I'll get it started here. Yeah.
Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed."
Waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. When the second woe was past, behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven.
"The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever."
And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped God.
"We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth."
Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail took a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven,
"Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time."
Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, in the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast.
Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, was deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666.
Of course, how it's read is, you know, is important too, Jerry. And, you know, we learn to read by what? And by reading, right, by practice. Who was it that said he learned to preach by following a mule? Yes, you learn in various capacities. Yeah. Let's talk about this woman. If you'll look at your notes just a moment, you'll see the projected possibilities as to who she might be. Keeping in mind now, it's easy to get off track when it comes to the book of Revelation or any book of its nature. Stay in mind, we're looking at fanciful visionary experiences. We're looking at sophisticated, astonishing, horrible, unusual, pictures, images, numbers. They're symbolic. They're weird. They're unusual. They're outlandish. And somebody said they're horrific. And let's keep in mind that, for example, this woman that is introduced in chapter 12, just because she is a being, a live being, a woman being, does not mean that she has to be interpreted that way. She may represent a group of people. She may represent a cause. She may represent an institution. She may represent anything, a principle of truth, a happening in history, or whatever. She does not have to represent. As you transfer the understanding over to reality, another person or a being. The Bible says there was a great sign that appeared in heaven. A great sign something that's outstanding and quite marked. In John's description of her, he used the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars. What was on her head? Crown, all right, a crown. And the Greek here, I understand, Jerry, has to do with a crown of victory, a victorious crown, not a royalty crown. But a crown of victory. 12 stars. And again, that's translated to mean what? Completeness. But the big question is, apparently we must know this because everybody asks about it as if it would make any difference in our understanding of it, who she is. Look at somebody read verse 5. I don't have my Bible up here. But somebody read verse 5.
She bore a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod.
So immediately, who comes to your mind?
Mary.
Okay. But is it Mary? Can it be Mary? The first 5 verses point to her as Mary, but the next verses, the next paragraph, turns that thing around. I don't think you're very far from being wrong.
Well, it's hard to think that, well, I know verse 2, it's hard to think the church when it says, then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain and gave birth. The church doesn't really come to my mind for that verse.
Well, the first one.
No.
That's true. So, most modern scholars look upon this image here, this imagery, as a shifting symbol. This lady in the early ongoings represents something somewhat different in the later ongoings, and yet there is a meshing of meaning here. Thus you have physical Israel, and then you have spiritual Israel. Keep in mind now, as you look at these images and this imagery, and you try to get an understanding from it, that the book was written to the 7 churches of Asia at a particular time, the 90s, the 90s AD. Written to them, for their understanding. So whatever interpretation you give to it, you're going to have to give it in terms of the needs of these people, these 7 churches. And that casts an interesting light on the meaning of these images. Now, if indeed the book Revelation was written like some people seem to think today, from the futurist standpoint, that it has a projection way into the future, a long time away from these 7 churches, it just loses its significance when you try to make something out of it from that standpoint. Remember now that the woman and the male child are identified as representative of God and righteousness, and the dragon and the 2 beasts are the representative forces on the evil side of the battle and the war that's going on. Well, who is this dragon? Little doubt about him, is there? He is the devil himself. Now, my beloved preacher friend, Brother Jim Jordan, said, Cletus, he could not have been a creative creature of God. My question then is, how did he get into heaven? And my next question is, why couldn't God have created him a moral creature just as well as he created us as moral creatures? And Satan used his morality in an immoral way and cast doubt upon God and blasphemed his name and fell out of fellowship with God who created him, and God booted him out of heaven. Just let me make one more statement, JC. You know, it's like somebody said, well, how in the world could a guy like Adolf Hitler come out of the ranks of human kindness? Well, God created Adolf Hitler just like he created you and me, Charlie. But that's the whole picture that makes the picture complete in regards to morality and freedom of choice. Okay?
I just go back to my mind, you know, where were these people originally created and started from the beginning? Satan, the angels, something that's already in heaven.
Yeah.
I can't get an understanding of this. Everything that is not God is created.
Mark.
It makes me think of another question. If Satan was up in heaven, he was okay. He did something wrong, he was kicked out. Does that mean that if I go to heaven, can I do something wrong, he was kicked out?
We're not informed as to that possibility. That's a question that's not answered in Scripture.
I don't even know that question is raised in Scripture.
I'm not aware of it. If it is asked, I know it. The answer is not there.
There is a difference in that when we get to heaven, we will be there after having overcome. We will have bruised Satan under our feet just as Jesus did.
Through the resurrection.
And if we are, have already experienced evil, but have turned from it, why would we go back to it?
Yeah, we wouldn't.
We
certainly wouldn't want to.
Only because we are not yet overcome.
And you would think also that to make it to heaven, those that have not have blasphemed against God and not accepted God, those two that won't make it anyway, and if we have accepted him and we make it, to be my understanding is Satan was usurped as his authority. We wouldn't really
Yeah. You got us on to another subject, but that's fine. But let me respond to what you've just said. The problem we humans have is in our efforts to interpret heaven and describe heaven, we do so from where we are. And, you know, it's like two monks. They got together one time and they had an agreement between themselves. They said whoever went first, died first, would make every effort to send a message back to the other monk who's still alive as to what heaven was like. Assuming, of course, that when we die, if we're bound for heaven, that's where we'll go to begin with, which I don't believe. So one monk died before the other, and he sent a message back to earth, and it said, and he said, not as you thought, nor I thought, but altogether different. And heaven is, may I say, indescribable. You know, it's like a father who raised his family in, let me see if I can think of a place. Beaver Dam, Colorado. He raised his family in Beaver Dam, Colorado, in the forest, in the mountains. And his son came to him one day and he said, Father, what is a skyscraper? And the father said, well, son, you see that silo over there that we have on our farm? It's something like that. Well, those of us who have been inside both a skyscraper and a silo would say, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We say a lot of things about heaven, Tim, that are not so, as far as I'm concerned. They're comforting, and I wouldn't say, hey, you're going to go to hell if you keep saying that about heaven. Because we need to be comforting in times of death.
A thought came to me. We want to have the mind of Christ. We want to be like Christ. But it appears to me that Satan wanted to be God. He wanted to be number one. That's not our goal.
Right. Some minor observations here real quick, like, you know, it talked about the dragon having so many, what were some of the descriptors? What?
Seven heads.
Yeah. Those are often described as elements of the Roman Empire. Often the names of emperors are mentioned, Diocletian, Nero, these guys, and they were evil men, very much so. I don't think we understand the kind of persecution and suffering that these early Christians experienced under the Roman government. And they blasphemed the name of God. They assumed the name of God. They had inscriptions on various government documents and upon coins, their names as representative of divinity.
So the first Caesar called himself Augustus.
Yes.
The Augustus.
Right. So those are said to be representative of the various components of the government. And of course, many commentators believe that verse 18 is a riddle set forth. They say that the figure 666 can be used to reduce the name of some individual by an ancient numerical application called gerrymandering. In other words, certain letters and names are representative in the numbers 666. And there's all kinds of combinations. In this one particular book I have, it has a chart, the letters representing certain numbers out here, and are supposed to have something to do with the various happenings in history in regards to the church. Absolutely, right. Well, to close with this comment, and we'll come back to this next Wednesday night, John said it is the number of a man, not the number of a beast, not the number of a demon with red and horns and a tail, but rather the number of a man.
But in Greek, there is no definite article.
Right.
So does it mean a man, meaning one man, particular man, or does it just mean man?
Well, if it doesn't mean anything else, it means that it is of human nature. Well, our time is up. Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had this evening. We pray for your guidance and your counsel as we travel through life. Forgive us now of our sins and dismiss us in your favor. In Jesus' holy name, amen.